As the countdown continued, with just over 1,200 days left to save the planet, the Supreme Master Qinghai International Association members in Taichung, Formosa, collaborated with 29 other co-organizers to host the climate change conference entitled Protect Our Home with Love on October 11th. The letters L-O-V-E signify L for LOHAS, which stands for Lifestyles of Health and Sustainability, O for Organic, V for Vegan, and E for Eco Dimensions to Save the Planet. Thousands of participants attended the event to stay informed about the latest facts on global warming, ways to live sustainably, and the single most effective solution, the plant-based, animal-free diet. The conference was co-hosted by Thelmo Luis Buddy Cananan, the famous Philippine TV host of NBN Television. Discussions on the themes of love were conducted by distinguished panelists, including environmental scientists Dr. Liu Xiaoshen and Professor Liu Chongming. Famous Formosan film and television personality Ms. Tan Ai Chen, president of the Formosa's first veg-promoting website, Mr. Lin Hong Roy, chief editor of Persimmon Cultural Enterprise Company Limited, Mr. Lin Chu Wen-er, and former pig farmer turned vegan, Mr. Luo Hung-chin. Other dignitaries included guest speaker, the Honorable Mayor Amelita Navarro of Santiago, the Philippines, and Mr. Chen Tian-wen, deputy speaker of Taichung City Council. Graciously accepting an invitation to attend via video conference as the event's guest of honor was Supreme Master Qinghai. We now invite you to join us for part two of the 8-part rebroadcast of the video conference with Supreme Master Qinghai entitled Protect Our Home with Love, held on October 11, 2009, Taichung, Formosa, or Taiwan.
We're extremely fortunate today to have so many experts who will thoroughly explain to us the main causes and effects of climate change and make concrete suggestions of actions that can be taken.
Yes, action now is very important. Our esteemed experts have put lots of effort to study climate change and appealing to the people of the world to recognize the very real threat of global warming. First, we would like to introduce Dr. Liu Xiaochen.
Yes, Dr. Liu is currently the director of the Research Center for Environmental Changes, Academia Sinica. He is also the co-chairman of the Laboratory of Atmospheric Chemistry and Climate Change, Chinese Academy of Meteorological Sciences. He used to be the director of the Laboratory of Atmospheric Physics, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. Join us in welcoming Dr. Liu Xiaochen.
Thank you. Supreme Master Qinghai, President Xiao Jiefu, honorable VIPs, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me to share with you this afternoon about one important subject, that is global change and the August 8 flooding by Typhoon Morak. Global change or global warming is going to give us the kind of environment to make August 8 disaster more often and worse. I think that message is extremely important. Global temperature increase is over last century about 0.6 degrees centigrade, and also the global ocean surface rise above 15 centimeters. And the third is the snow cover has been decreasing. The increase of the global temperature and also the sea surface rise is relatively small over the last century. And Most people, I think, would have the perception that the increase is gradual and long-term. But what they forgot to think is together with global warming, we actually also have a very urgent change. That's the change to our extreme weather events. Significant increase in very heavy precipitation and also decrease in very light rain has been occurring all over the world. We'll show you some example. Even over the oceans, the same thing has been happening. And with the increase of very heavy precipitation comes the increased risk of flooding and also mudslides, just like the August 8th flooding in southern Taiwan. And also with the decrease of light rain, we all know that light rain is very beneficial to the soil because it's a very critical source of the soil moisture. And by losing light precipitation, we are increasing the risk of droughts. Despite the disaster of flooding only 2 months ago, the drought situation in Taiwan in the last few years have been very severe and very frequent. And that has to do with the decrease of light rain in Taiwan. This figure shows the change of precipitation intensity in Taiwan. Showing to the right, these are very heavy precipitation. Here are very light precipitation. And different color means the average of every 10 years, except the blue one is the last 5 years, 2001 to 2005. And years 1961, 1970 is on top. You see light precipitation has been decreasing and heavy rains increasing. This is the whole United States. You can see the same thing. The heavy precipitation are increasing. The light one, United States, are different from Taiwan. The light one actually didn't show much change. That's mostly because in the U.S. in the last 50 years or so, the entire precipitation has been increasing, while in Taiwan, the total precipitation has been rather constant. This one is for China, of course, you see. This shows the linear trend of number of days of very light rain, 0.1 millimeter per day. That's Chinese drizzles, or Chinese called mao mao yu. And blue means decrease. And you can see over most China has been decreasing. There's some exceptions. And over Taiwan, we had the same thing. Our light drizzle, our mao mao yu, decreased in the last 45 to 50 years. Our mao mao yu 50 years ago was 70 days per year, but now we got only 35 days, a factor of 2 decrease in drizzles in mao mao yu. That's a big loss of precipitation, particularly for places like Taichung and further south. And in the spring, we need the light drizzles to give us the precipitation for the spring planting. Researchers in Academia Sinica in the last 2 years has been finding some very alarming changes in heavy precipitation. Essentially, in the last 50 years, we found that the top 10% very heavy precipitation increased by almost a factor of 2. So that's a large increase in 50 years. And corresponding to that, the light precipitation decreased by a factor of 2, by 50% or so. And that's a very large change for Taiwan. There are only 4 typhoons in average each year landed in Taiwan. And Taiwan have about 40% of precipitation from typhoon. That means most of the heavy precipitation are coming from typhoon in Taiwan. And in other words, the very heavy typhoon precipitation in the last 50 years has increased by a factor of 2. And you can imagine that really increased the flooding and the mudslide. We are predicting there be more strong precipitation associated with typhoon to Taiwan in the future years. In fact, we are predicting the next increase by another 4, instead of by factor of 2, the next one will be by factor of 3. And the increase by another fold will take not 50 years, only about 20 to 25 years, because the increase in global temperature is going to speed up in the next century, essentially almost doubling, in fact, near the end, tripling the rate for global temperature increase. Actually, we try to quantify the change in the precipitation intensity with the global temperature. We divide the intensity into 10 equal parts. So this is the top 10% precipitation, very strong precipitation, typhoons. And this is light drizzles, the maomaoyu. And you can see the strong heavy precipitation. For each degree increase in global temperature would increase by a factor of 1.4 or 140%. And the light one would decrease by 70%. Now, this is the IPCC's prediction of temperature increase in this century, okay, 21st century. And the often mentioned B1 case is the case that temperature would increase by a factor of 2 by the end of 21st century. And that's when we try very hard to decrease the greenhouse gas emission. We increase the temperature only by 2 degrees. If we don't try to limit the greenhouse gas emission, we would get the A2 case, that's the pink one, or this one. And A2 case, the temperature increase is fairly close to 4 degrees. With the B2 case, because it's increased by 2 degrees, and each degree is 140%, 2 degrees means 280% increase in heavy precipitation. And A2 case is 4 degrees, 4 times 140 is 560% increase in precipitation, heavy precipitation. And that's really alarming. I can't believe living in that kind of environment. And that means that typhoons in Taiwan would bring 3 to 5 times more heavy precipitation. And imagine that would mean at least 3 to 5 times more floods and more mudslides. And here I want to mentioned that we should not forget the decrease of light precipitation because it's in different seasons in Taiwan. It's in winter and spring. The decrease of light precipitation will continue increase the risk and the frequency of drought in Taiwan. This shows for southern China, it's the similar thing. The heavy one, it's not as much, it's 63% for each degree. And that's about half of Taiwan. The pink one, you see, the global average, the heavy precipitation would increase by 110%, a little bit less than Taiwan, but very large. And these increases are going to be larger in the tropical region. And that means where a lot of precipitation already is going to increase more. And also in place like India in the summer, monsoon, they have very heavy precipitation. Those are going to get more and more frequent. So the place with a lot of flooding is going to have increase. But where there's very little precipitation, actually the drought is going to get worse. What we are saying is that globally we are seeing the same thing. Very alarming change in heavy precipitation and light precipitation. And the only way to stop these kind of disastrous changes is to stop increasing greenhouse emission. Thank you for your attention.
For your insightful speech.
Thank you very much, sir. We need more scientists like you to awaken people and make people understand the seriousness of climate change. Let's give him another round of applause, please. The next guest speaker is also an expert on climate change and another highly esteemed individual. He is Dr. Liu Chungming. Dr. Liu is the professor of the Department of Atmospheric Sciences and the director of the Global Change Research Center of National Taiwan University. Let's now warmly greet and welcome Dr. Liu Chungming.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really honored to be here. In the past 10 to 15 years, I've been attending many different kinds of seminars, conferences, lectures, and so on. But today is more than 1,000 audience. And I understand through broadcasting, it's probably like 100 million. I'm really honored to have this opportunity to talk about what I've been doing in the past few years. Climate change is ongoing, and the global temperature keep warming. It's actually like Typhoon Mora. People in Taiwan thinking it's very serious. Then probably next year or the year after, we will have another typhoon probably breaking this year's record. So what we need is we need to adapt to the climate change. We have to live with it. We have to dance with it. We have to stay alive with the coming disasters. And to pave the way to do it, it's not just personal, everyone, what we can do about it. We actually need the government. We need the people working together. So we need the law. We need to establish this National Climate Security Act. What I want to talk about is adaptation is to decrease climate vulnerability and to increase adaptation capacity. This is the general temperature increasing trend in Taiwan, and there's a global trend. So this is just saying that we are in the same warming trend as the world. This shows that the central part is climate change. Okay, this means that the ongoing climate change composed of a lot of events like temperature increase, heavy rainfall, and the sea level rise, everything. So it will have more hazards, disasters, and will affect our primary industry like agriculture and so on. And certainly will affect our ecosystem and human health, and will need all people concerned to be involved. We just saw the video showing that our President Mao has mentioned about we will establish the national protection law. This is all included. So under the United Nations Climate Change Framework, we usually talk about this mitigation. So we have like Kyoto Protocol, which talk about to reduce the greenhouse gas emission, including the theme of today is actually is how to reduce the emission. But the other theme is adaptation, which means we have to live with the climate change. So we have to do the impact assessment. We have to have a certain strategy for the coming 100 years. We need to know how to live with it. So under UNFCCC, they actually have this Nairobi Work Program for this developed country, and certainly for the least developed country. They all need to work on this subject. First of all, you need the scientists to work together to project the future climate change, and to assess like sea level rise. So Taiwan, we probably lost how much of land. So we probably have to just protect ourselves, and we probably to live inward. And also about this heavy rain, if we can estimate that how much frequency of this heavy rain will increase and how much amount of water will come in, then we probably have to figure out, like for the mountain area, could we have more people living there? I mean, all these landslides, the more serious events will come out. So what we should do with that? So that's actually a very difficult task. And this is under UN Development Program. They also have a strategy to do this, a similar concept. And definitely this, for this coming disaster, we always have lost. So talk about adaptation is just to minimize the loss. So in a simple wording is that this year we have record-breaking rainfall. We also have record-breaking loss. But later, for the coming years, we probably have another record-breaking rainfall and typhoon and so on. But we don't want to have another record-breaking loss. How much we can benefit from doing this adaptation task. And this is talking about worldwide, besides UN, each country, what they do. Are they doing on this subject, like EU, Canada, Australia, Netherlands, and the United Kingdom? UK actually passed the climate bill to tackle this issue. And for developing countries like China, like India, they have set up the initial program to work on this. And certainly for these least developed country or small island developing states, they are working on these subjects under UN guidance. And currently in Taiwan, last year I've been working on this project. So we did a certain survey, and seems that most people in Taiwan, they understand the current status of climate change. They know the threat to this small island, okay? And the issue is how can we tackle this? For instance, if another typhoon Morak coming, do we construct more, I mean, like a high wall so we protect ourselves within it? I mean, the engineering approach probably will not work. So we need something else. We need a non-engineering approach. However, talking about the adaptation, people will say that once you adapt to the climate change, probably means that we will not be facing another serious typhoon. Actually not. We will still have a serious typhoon because the temperature warming, we have a higher temperature seawater, and it will help to intensify the intensity of this typhoon and also widen the typhoon influence area. The natural disaster still cannot be avoided, but we can hope to reduce the damage. That's the general expectation we hope. Under this general idea, last year, we proposed a framework on the National Climate Change Impact Assessment Adaptation Strategy. We need a legislature adaption, industry and land use adaption. So our president mentioned about National Land Protection Law is actually one of it. It's just part of this general framework. This for coastal, that's a low-lying area, like this year in Pingtung, this land subsistence area. The total population, I think, is close to 50,000 people. So we cannot just move them. We cannot just say you are not suitable to live at this subsistence area with the sea level rise and land subsistence. This area is definitely the most vulnerable area in Taiwan. But we cannot just move them. We have to have a plan. We have to have a strategy to work on this issue and probably take 30 years to slowly move them. That's a long-term and a difficult task. Okay. So we need legislation to pave the foundation for all the tasks. One simple act I propose is this Climate Security Act. Under this, the greenhouse gas emission is right here. With this greenhouse gas emission, we have a lot of interaction going on. So actually, there's a lot of money going through these greenhouse gas emissions. For instance, carbon tax, or maybe these cap and trade activities, like emission trade and so on, it probably will get to the general reduction of the greenhouse emission from this country. But from all this money flow, we can take out some of it into these three funds. One is called the Climate Security Fund, which for each disaster like this year, government have to pull out a lot of money just for rebuilding the areas. And the other is for minority funds, for those the most disadvantaged minority welfare. Another is for adaptation funds. So my general conclusion is based on the evidence of climate change and impacts, proper adaptation strategies are needed to sustain the future development of human systems. A proposal for National Climate Change Adaptation Framework is addressed to facilitate adaptation capacity building in Taiwan. The Climate Security Act is waiting for positive response from legislators. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Liu, for your excellent speech. Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be discussing other important issues later. But before that, let's watch a beautiful Aboriginal dance performance to remind us about the nature with harmony.
Yes, here in Taiwan, there are over 12 different Aboriginal tribes. And today's performance, a very beautiful one, is by the Mintai Aboriginal Dance Club, composed of high school boys and girls who practiced very long and very hard to present a very special dance number.
Have you ever seen this before?
No, but in the Philippines, we also have many Aboriginal tribes, mm-hmm. and they're very similar to the ones you have in Taiwan. So this is something that Philippines and Taiwanese share, the Aboriginal links. And today's dance is actually three special dances that are now merged in one, called the Mountain Forest Shaken Dance. So let's all extend a hand of friendship to our Aboriginal brothers and sisters by giving them a warm round of applause.